when one of us gets hit, we all get hit. This hurts the reputation of every one of us, let alone the national economy. So this is something that's important for all of us. Let's band together. Let's work together. Let's discuss together. Because I truly believe when we work together as a group, we can really do much, much more than we could individually.
This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, this is Jennifer Tribe, and you're listening to episode 51 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. My guest today is Wes Spencer, Chief Information Security Officer at Perch Security. He's a frequent speaker and advisor to companies big and small on cybersecurity, and he currently serves on the Department of Homeland Security AIS Advisory Committee. That's the Automated Indicator Sharing Committee. I'll put a link to that committee's webpage in the show notes if you're interested to know what that's all about. Wes and I will be talking about the recent surge in cyber attacks targeting MSPs, what they mean for the industry, and perhaps most importantly, how to protect yourself and your clients. But before we get there, I wanted to give a quick shout out to everyone who completed our listener survey in August. I got some great feedback and ideas, which I'll be incorporating into the show, starting with this episode, actually. A bunch of you asked for more episodes on security, so that's why Wes Spencer is here today, and there will be more security and protection topics in future episodes as well. A couple of other comments from the survey that I wanted to quickly address. One listener asked me to specify which episodes are audio and which ones are audio-video. All of the Frankly MSP episodes are audio only. We were posting the audio tracks to YouTube with a static image, which may be what has caused the confusion, but we've stopped doing that. So the best place to hear the show is either on the AVIC website through the embedded player or through your choice of podcast app. We're on pretty much every major player, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, plus most of the smaller ones as well, like Pocket Casts, Overcast, Castbox, and Stitcher. So really, listener's choice. Another listener requested written bullet points of what's in each episode along with timestamps so they can see where in the episode each point is discussed. So I just wanted to point out that this is exactly what the show notes for each episode contain, a timestamped outline of all the content, plus links to any additional content that's mentioned, like articles, books, interviewee contact information, and so on. And every once in a while, there's some cool bonus content in there as well. I started adding the link to the show notes in the episode descriptions when I publish them, which should make it easier to click through right from your podcast app. The link for the show notes always takes the same format. It's avic.com/franklymsp/, and then the 3-digit episode number. For example, you'll find today's show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/051 for episode 51. I want to also mention that our listener survey is still open. You'll find the link in the show notes. I always welcome your feedback, so I will leave that survey open indefinitely. And you can also just email me at franklymsp@avic.com if you'd rather shoot me a quick note. All right, let's dive into the conversation with Wes Spencer of Perch Security about MSP-targeted ransomware attacks.
You're listening to Frankly MSP. Brought to you by AVIC Networks.
Hi, Wes. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. Really good to be with you.
Now, at this point, I don't think anyone would dispute that MSPs are being targeted by cybercriminals. MSPs are kind of like a jackpot for hackers, right? Why crack one network when you can crack 20 at a time?
You hit the nail on the head right there. One thing we should never forget, bad guys communicate and they talk. One of the things that's really interesting that we've seen is a significant focus against MSPs. We're aware of at least a dozen, just as an example, in the past 30 days that have been hit by very systemic, very focused ransomware attacks. You're exactly right, Jennifer. This is a growing threat, and MSPs are unfortunately in the crosshairs quite a bit.
What can you tell us about who's behind these attacks and the approaches they're using?
Let's start with the first part, who's behind the attack. So there's a lot of information that we don't know. One of the challenges that we have across the board is obviously these cyber criminals use anonymity in every single way, not just in the payment of ransomware using cryptocurrency. Usually Bitcoin is the number one currency that we use, but also even in the mechanics in which they communicate once the ransomware has been delivered. So most of the time, we believe it's Eastern European and also Asiatic in some cases as well are the two most predominant based upon how we see them act and communicate. I will tell you the growing attack that we're seeing right now, this goes a little bit to the second piece of that. So Denikobe or Soden is what a lot of people just kind of nickname it. That is a growing one. And in fact, we're seeing about three very specific cyber threat actors that have been focused on MSPs. A large number of the ones that have been hit of late have been one of three Soden actors. So it's kind of interesting because we are seeing a correlation of a small number of threat actors focusing on the sector specifically. It's actually less about a huge number of thousands going after, and actually the most successful ones are a set of three that we're seeing the most of.
Now, I saw a presentation that you gave at a conference not long ago, and you had this screen grab, which I thought was astonishing. It was a message posted to like a chat forum from a user called Gand Crab. And in this post, they are absolutely crowing about their success extorting businesses around the world. Tell us about that message and what you think it means for the industry.
Right. So it's braggadocious, clearly. And unfortunately, it's that way. I personally have been tracking and looking at threat actors for years now. So I actually produced a YouTube documentary back in maybe 2013 or so about the takedown of what was called the Silk Road, which was one of the very first criminal marketplaces. And I'll tell you what's interesting is this braggadocious behavior of threat actors that have actually been successful. We saw that with Silk Road. We've seen it time and time again. And the Gand Crab campaign is a similar example. So there probably could be some arguments of the stat checking on exactly what they actually made out with. But we know for a fact, the Gand Crab threat actors that are no longer active did make millions of dollars in ransoms. So it's kind of sad seeing that, isn't it? Nobody wants to see that. Nobody likes seeing that. But the fact is, in many ways, the bad guys are winning. They're winning because they are going after multiple industries that are not quite prepared. They're winning because they're operating in foreign countries in which there's no extradition, no real risk for them. And they're operating in terms of ways that are 3-4 steps ahead of most cybersecurity practitioners. And so, yeah, really sad to see that bragging behavior of, hey, we made millions of dollars. We didn't get caught. We proved by doing bad things the good results out of it. Nobody wants to hear that. Now, one of the things I said in the conference, I happen to know the number of law enforcement agencies that are active still looking at Gand Crab and other campaigns. And I would not be as confident as they might be that they got away scot-free. I do think that there's going to continue to be a national and international focus against these threat actors. We have seen them get taken down. We have seen them actually be thrown in prison and convicted. So I'm not sure if I'm the Gand Crab threat actors that I would be sleeping really well at night, even though their full campaign was successful.
So, and this is an issue that's hitting the mainstream media too, right? So after that attack on the Texas cities and towns through an MSP, it's been picked up in newspapers and magazines and TV stations across the country. And now you just mentioned that law enforcement is working very actively. Do you think that high profile is helping the case with law enforcement? Like, how prepared are they to deal with these kinds of attacks?
A few things that I want to say with confidence, and then a few that are just kind of my thinking on what I think is going on and what I'm seeing. So first of all, I do know that law enforcement is very, very interested. Where their real focus currently is around correlation, right? They're really trying to understand how many specific threat actors are there? What industries are they going after? What are those attacks looking like? What are the particular ransomware campaigns? How are they breaking in? Those are things that they're really interested in currently in front of them because there's a number of outcomes that come from that. I'll give you an example. One outcome is we're seeing a number of MSP breaches specifically going after the RMM, right? The remote management monitoring tool. So if you have an RMM, which every MSP does, those are your crown jewels. And so looking at law enforcement is very interested in the techniques of how that's happening so that they can better publish information to warn and wake up all MSPs on how they can protect those things or protect themselves and those kinds of attacks. Secondly, law enforcement also is very interested in the actual financial money movement. So even though everything's made over cryptocurrency, doesn't mean that it's completely anonymous. There are actual ways that we can track the money movement. We can see across these public ledgers, such as Bitcoin, where the money is moving. And if we see correlations, and we can go after the actual cash out activity where the crypto is kind of brought back into local currency. So there are some things that federal law enforcement is very, very interested in. some things that I suspect that they're interested in, and, you know, I'm probably just not privy to all of this, is, you know, it's very difficult for them to handle the volume right now. So they're active, they're working with each case. They're very well aware of these cases when they're published to them. But the volume, unfortunately, Jennifer, right now is so high that it's very difficult for them to get tactically involved in every single attack. And that's really what makes this so frustrating for MSPs, is they really feel like they're on an island. They feel like, for the first time in their lives, sophisticated threat actors that are going after some of the largest of organizations are now turning their attention to smaller ones like MSPs. And they feel like, what am I supposed to do about this? I don't have the resources that the big boys have. I don't have the capabilities that they have. And what am I supposed to do when I'm kind of isolated against these bad guys? And that's a tough position for anybody to be in, let alone an MSP.
Would you say that the sentiment in general among MSPs right now, in your experience, is they're discouraged, they're afraid, or what is the sentiment right now?
It's a number of things. It can be that. So you actually get to see a lot of this communication in multiple MSP channels where MSPs love to gather and discuss. I'll tell you, across the board, they're all worried, and they should be worried. I am not a purveyor of FUD, you know, that fear, uncertainty, doubt. I don't like that as a security practitioner. However, currently, this is a clear and present danger for managed providers. So they're discussing it. They're worried. They're considering, you know, how would I handle this if I'm going to be attacked? What security safeguards do I have in place? How prepared would I be? So we are seeing a lot of that. We're also seeing some managed providers really going through the ropes of, you know, tabletop testing, really looking at their controls, having discussions with their vendors and partners of, you know, what are you guys doing to help protect me? What precautions should I be worried about? And really a lot of attention to those that are being hit. How did you get hit? What happened? What lesson learned could I take away on my end? So those are things I am seeing. Fortunately, I'm not seeing a lot of MSPs saying, you know, we're going to close the doors. This is a risk too high for us. Most of them are wanting to fight back. They're wanting to defend themselves. They're wanting to do the right things. One plug that I'll make, this is a complete nonprofit plug. Those attendees on this podcast are going to IT Nation. One of the things that I'm doing is just a benefit. We're doing a free tabletop session. So one of my good friends is Chris Lair from Solace Security that handles incident response for managed providers. They're personally handling the vast majority of these MSP breaches right now. We're doing a tabletop test specifically for MSPs. Come to that session. It's a free session. We're going to walk you through like what I call bullets flying, really seeing how a real attack has happened, and then let you see how you stack up. What things are you doing that are good? What are some deficiencies you might want to work on? We did this last year, Jennifer, and it was an eye-opening experience for managed providers of things that they had never thought before, because we're actually using a real attack as an example to walk through with their own preparatory defenses.
That sounds like a fantastic simulation. For those who won't be able to attend, let's talk now about some of the best and biggest things an MSP can be doing right now to start locking down their business.
I'm really glad you asked that, because there's some things that I want to make sure we have some really good takeaways. So a couple things. One is we are seeing two-factor finally become standard, not just in the tools that you use. Most, if not all, our RMM support two-factor. Most authentication supports two-factor, but you got to turn that on. You got to use it. You've got to be militant about it. And what I mean by that is there's no excuses for any authentication not having two-factor this day and age. And as an MSP owner or some kind of administrator, you've got to make sure it's turned on for everybody. I'll give you a case in point. This is an unfortunate one, Jennifer. We saw one MSP that was hit with ransomware. The attack went after the RMM, successfully deployed to all their customers. And the reason it happened was there was one single employee at that MSP that had two-factor that was not enabled. Every other employee at the MSP had it enabled, and they went after the single one that did not. Really unfortunate. So two-factor is so important. Turn it on, leave it on, never turn it off, require it. Really important. Second thing is you've got to be aware of your risks, right? So one of the big entry points that we're seeing is remote desktop protocol. So I am preaching this to the masses. I was in Washington, D.C. speaking to FBI and other organizations at a meeting about 3 months ago. And I said this, I said, hey, one of the big attack vectors is remote desktop protocol hitting from the internet. If you have that on, I implore you, turn that off. I know why managed providers turned it on. They turned it on because it's ease of access, but it's extremely risky, not necessarily just from like a vulnerability point of view, but from recycled credentials. There have been a large number of attacks getting, not just necessarily the MSP, but even their clients, because RDP is open to the world. So turn that off, require VPN and other mechanisms to protect yourself. I cannot speak highly enough about that. When I mention that, all of the FBI in the room nodded their heads and they said, yes, we're seeing the same thing, huge attack point. So really important. The third thing, I want to actually go less on controls and more after processes. Because I think a lot of MSPs have this predilection, if I can use that word, to secure themselves by putting in every tool known to man. And that's good. But sometimes tools don't do enough and processes sometimes get left by the wayside. And here's what I mean by that. One of my third recommendation would be you need to know your customers. You need to know what are their crown jewels, how do they operate, what does their network footprint look like, what kind of risk do they pose to us. I think a lot of managed providers just sort of take customers as they come, and they look at it as a loss to spend time getting to know their customers. And we have seen breaches occur because the MSP probably didn't know their customer well enough and what that looked like and the risks that they brought on. So I really encourage you to have some conversations with your customers and understand what they're doing, what their online presence looks like, how they process the things that they process as a business. Understanding those things can be really important because they're going to uncover some things that you may say, whoa, I didn't know that was going on. We can really need to help them clean that up because it's a huge security risk.
I hear that MSPs are running into difficulties with some clients who just don't want to take their recommendations on what needs to be changed. Like, I don't want to pay for that. I don't want to do that. It takes too much time to do it that way. What's your advice on what MSPs can and should do with these clients?
Okay, yeah. So this is just Wes's opinion, right? You obviously need to think long and hard about this for each business owner. But a number of things that I'm seeing, you know, we're seeing more and more doing the waiver kind of thing to say, hey, this is our standardized security package. Every one of our customers gets this for two reasons. One, because it's so important to us that we can't accept a customer without it. And two, it's so important to you that you actually need it. And then when they have customers that say, don't want it, don't need it, can't afford it, don't want to put the budget in, don't understand it, then they have a waiver process where they say, okay, fine, we'll have you as a client with exceptions to this, but you've got to sign that waiver. Not necessarily saying that that is the best way to go. There are risks to that. I'm no lawyer, right? But you really need to make sure that waiver has coverages for you in the event a breach happens. Because here's the deal. Here's what we know. When an MSP gets hit and their customers get hit 100% of the time, guess who they blame? They blame you as a managed provider. So you've got to make sure if you're going to go that exceptions route, that it's going to hold water. And that's very important. The other thing that I'm seeing people do is they're just saying, hey, this is how we do business. Just like in the olden days where you couldn't imagine, you know, not having network backup or antivirus or Active Directory bundled into the service offerings, a number of managed providers are saying, this is our standard and we're not going to negotiate. We're not going to go out of this. Just like I wouldn't let a client come on board if they don't want my managed backup. No, you're going to get that because that's too important for me. Same thing with the security services that we offer. We're going to wrap in the things that are critical. Now, of course, that also means you've got to consider what are those critical things? What must go into that stack that every single customer is going to have? And can I do that affordably? So those are a couple things that I would really consider. And then the third, and I've been talking about this a lot, is you really need to spend some time as an MSP understanding what a real cybersecurity program looks like. A lot of managed providers are new to this. Take a look at the cybersecurity framework from NIST. So this is a federal government security framework. I would highly encourage every MSP that's listening to this, check out the CSF, dive into it, get a good understanding of how my MSP maps to the CSF, and then that will be the framework and the provision by which you can then go to your clients and offer them a CSF mapped security program as well. The work is already done. We've just got to take a look at it and seize it. So those are a few things I would mention.
Do you have a sense what percentage of attacks that hit an MSP come to the MSP directly and how many come through a weak client and then go up to the MSP and out to the full client base?
I do have a good sense of that. Keep in mind, attacks are always changing. It's a cat and mouse game, right? Like you always see this aspect by which bad guys do something, we respond, and then they kind of pivot. So keep in mind what I'm saying now could be just a month away from a pivot. We're seeing MSPs being the focus. And the reason they're the focus is because if they can get full and unfettered access to the RMM, then they have full control over the entire MSP and all of their customers. So currently we are still seeing the MSP being the focus. When we see an end user, for example, a client get hit with something, it's less damaging in that most of the time we don't see access back to the MSP getting access to the RMM and then redeploying to all of their clients. We usually aren't seeing that right now. So we're seeing one of two attacks. One is just one particular client gets hit. That's never fun, but it's certainly better than all of your clients getting hit because the MSP got hit. So currently, you look at that hub and spoke model, right? The MSP is still the hub. They're still the major primary attack target, but bad guys will go after an end user client if that's all they can get access to. But yeah, we are still seeing the MSP, the vast majority, 80, 90% or more, the attacks are still focused on the MSP themselves.
Okay, so we've talked about enabling 2FA, we've talked about turning off RDP. What are some other like major things that if an MSP is like, oh, where do I start? They need to be thinking about.
Sure. I want to call this out because, again, I don't want anyone to hear this podcast and think, well, Wes just recommends security by tools. Tools are important, but you really need to do some risk assessing. You need to understand what risks are in your own business practices. You need to align that to the CSF. You need to then start offering a real security program, which is process driven, not just security tools or control driven. And then really aligning your program to the CSF and building a real comprehensive security program. Those are the things that are critical. A few other things, though, that I think are important for all of us. One, we need to be aware of what's going on in our network, right? We need to be aware of how attacks happen. I can tell you in every single systemic case, which is what we're talking about today, of these attacks that are being hit, and then access is escalated to get to the RMM. These are not like, it's not like a movie. It's not like where you hit the red button and all of a sudden all your clients are hit. These bad guys are persistent and present in the network for the MSP for days, if not a week or more. So they are spending a significant amount of time once they're in the MSP discovering where is the RMM, how do I get access to the RMM, how do I turn off the network backups, do these kinds of things. People always say a bad guy only has to be right once, but we as security practitioners have to be right every time. That's true. However, that whole paradigm flips the second a bad guy is in the network, because now they're having to learn your network. They're having to learn, how do I get in? How do I escalate privileges and eventually do all the nasty stuff I want to do? So that actually flips. And we have many, many opportunities over those hours, if not days, to detect that attack and stop it. And we've seen more sophisticated MSPs do that. Well, how do we do that? We need better visibility into what's going on in our network, connections in and out. We need to have an idea of, are we seeing strange signs of activity, maybe some odd PowerShell movement, maybe some strange IP connections in the middle of the day or the middle of the night, you know, all of those kinds of things that may be a tip off to, whoa, something bad is going on. So really understanding your network and having a better idea of like visibility wise of what's going on is really critical.
Any parting advice for MSPs who are coming to grips with this issue?
A few things. Don't give up. Leverage the best practices that others have gone before you. So be willing to open up communications. Be less defensive about, oh, my security program is so good, no one can get hit. Let's not think and act like that. Let's talk about it in a risk-based approach. What are others doing? What are some things that we could leverage and learn from others to protect ourselves? Let's align it to best practices. Let's all start communicating. Let's start talking about these things. Let's have open dialogue with each other. Let's really understand where these threats are and be open with one another on how we can all work together, because we fight a common enemy. When one of us gets hit, we all get hit. This hurts the reputation of every one of us, let alone the national economy. So this is something that's important for all of us. Let's band together. Let's work together. Let's discuss together. Because I truly believe when we work together as a group, we can really do much, much more than we could individually. So take heart. Don't give up. There is hope for all of us that are out there. Let's all work together to do that.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Wes Spencer, Chief Information Security Officer at Perch Security. As always, I'll put links to all the things you need from this episode, including the YouTube documentary Wes mentioned, the NIST info, details about the upcoming tabletop session, and more in the show notes at avic.com/franklymsp/051. Wes mentioned talking to each other about security. I've seen in the last few weeks MSPs doing just this, sharing their security best practices and what they're doing about these MSP-focused ransomware attacks in Facebook groups and on Reddit, and it's been really encouraging to see all the discussion that's been happening as a result. In the show notes, I'll put links to some of these online groups and communities that you might want to check out. Of course, you might also want to join the Frankly MSP LinkedIn community to join the conversation there. There will be a link to that group in the show notes as well. And that's a wrap. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks. the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.